the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Welcome to a Saturday edition of the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Hoping to hear from some guests. If not, we will just continue on. There's always something that this train is picking up. My question is, did you catch any of the Iowa-UConn game last night? One of the things I've been saying, and this may ruffle some feathers, but I have said that if it's a close game, I just got the funny feeling, especially if it's a game with Iowa involved, if it's a close game, the officials are going to play a role in this game. And true enough, whether you liked the call last night or didn't like the call, and there's going to be a lot of back and forth on this. That's to be expected. But the thing I said, that if it's a game involving Iowa, and especially Caitlin Clark, she is the media darling this year. She's been the media darling since last year's couple of hand gestures, you can't see me. Then it escalated when the favor was returned, except one was applauded for theirs, while another one was hailed as a thug, a villain, all the bad names. Only it wasn't until Caitlin came out and said that there's no animosity towards the two girls, which was Angel Reese. And then this year you heard Angel Reese give nothing but love to Iowa's Caitlin Clark. So when I say what I'm going to say, it's not to take anything away from Caitlin Clark, but I had said in some of my comments, I said if it's a close game, watch out for the officials. They can sway this game one way or the other. And we've seen what happened last night. So, here is the headline. Paige Buechers teaches Caitlin Clark a lesson in humility after losing to Iowa on controversial play. The breakdown. Officials called forward Aaliyah Edwards for an illegal screen after she collided with Iowa guard Gabby Marshall. Paige Buechers caught a bounce pass from Nika Mule and prepared to pull up with a chance to extend UConn's season. She never got the chance. Just as the Huskies' leading score rose, the whistle blew. Officials called forward Aaliyah Edwards for an illegal screen after she collided with Iowa guard Gabby Marshall, who was trying to get by Edwards in pursuit of Buechers. The offensive foul with 3.9 seconds left gave the ball back to the Hawkeyes. UConn never got it back in a 71-69 loss that ended the program's 23rd women's Final Four appearance, one step short of the national title game. Iowa and Caitlin Clark will face unbeaten South Carolina for the NCAA championship on Sunday. UConn will watch from home with plenty of time to think about a whistle whose echo will linger into the offseason. My point of view, it was pretty clean, Edwards said. The officials saw it another way. The play was the third offensive foul called against the Huskies during a physical game that had players on both sides occasionally dropping to the floor. The 6'3" Edwards didn't knock the 5'9" Marshall to the ground. but officials saw enough contact to swing momentum one last time. "I'm happy it was called," Marshall said. "That was like the third or fourth one of the game." Marshall spent most of her 39 minutes on the court trying to slow down Bukers. The 2021 National Player of the Year needed 17 shots to reach 17 points. She'll never know what would have happened if she had been able to get off an 18th. Though Bukers declined to blame the loss on the final sequence, "I feel there were a lot of mistakes that I made that could have prevented that play from even being that big," Paige Bukers. "Everybody can make a big deal of that one single play, but not one single play wins a basketball game or loses a basketball game," Bukers said. "I feel there were a lot of mistakes that I made that could have prevented that play from even being that big." As a matter of fact, if possible, see if I can pull up the audio of this. Probably can't. Some connected elsewhere. Anyway, we will just go ahead going with the story. The Huskies led by 12 in the first half and nearly recovered from a 9-point deficit in the fourth quarter. UConn called a timeout after an hour turnover with 9 seconds left. Coming out of the huddle, Marshall was pretty sure she knew who the Huskies would turn to with so much at stake. "I think I knew the ball was going to go to Paige in that moment, and they were going to try and set some screens for her," Marshall said. I was just trying to stay on her hip. That was my mentality going into it." Marshall never got to Bukers' hip. Instead, she caught a piece of Edwards' left elbow. And when the whistle blew, Marshall pointed the other way as if to say, "Our ball," while UConn coach Gino Auriemma struggled to control his emotions as a season he's called one of the most gratifying of his Hall of Fame career came to a halt. "I mean, there's probably an illegal screen call that you could make on every single possession," Auriemma said. "I just know there were three or four of them called on us, and I don't think there were any called on them. So I guess we just got to get better on not setting illegal screens." The illegality of the play may be in the eye of the beholder. Hoops luminaries from Kelsey Plum, whose NCAA Division I scoring record was broken by Clark this season, to LeBron James believe the refs should have let it go. It says, "I ain't trolling with that call," James posted on X. "Maybe, but the Hawkeyes are rolling into a meeting with the Gamecocks while UConn's national championship drought is at 8 years and counting. There were some decisions that even myself, I wish I could take back," Edwards said, "but that's just how the game went. And we left it out there on the court today. There's some of what is taking place in that game last night, which, like I said, something just told me that the referee's calls would at some point the referee's call was going to play a big role in swinging this game one way or the other. That was what I said in my initial points. I told people that would listen to me. I even said it on, I believe, talk show radio with Jacob Albright of KFH and KWCH. I told him, I said, "You know, if this game is close, I just have this funny feeling, especially if it's Iowa and Caitlin Clark concerned, if it's a close game, the referees is going to make a difference in this game." And like Paige Bukers said, she didn't blame the refs. And you have to commend these young ladies for not blaming the game on one call. But we as fans who sit back and watch, I mean, if you think about it, even on the men's side of it, I forget who Kansas was playing, but a young man blocks a KU player's shot, clean block, and I'm going to pick on Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder's blinded eyes could see that that was a clean block. So now we fast forward to the Iowa Hawkeyes game. And what happens? The referee's call swings the game in the last 3.9 seconds. So it makes you wonder what happens if it's a close game down the stretch between Iowa and South Carolina. I like the Caitlin Clark story. I like what has been trending ever since last year's national title game. But if you ask me for my pick in Sunday's game for the national title, I'm probably rolling with the Gamecocks of South Carolina. But if it's a close game, and if a referee has to make a call, I'm not sure about that. So if y'all are looking at me to give y'all a betting line, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. This is one of those games, it's a pick 'em. You really can't even put a point spread on it. Although I'm sure the odds makers have point spreads out on this game. I don't have a good feel for this game. I want to say South Carolina finishes the story. I know that's a wrestling reference. Cody Rhodes got to finish the story. But South Carolina definitely has to finish the story. Undefeated season. Don Staley, one of the great coaches in NCAA women's history. What she's done with that program has maintained that program, has sustained that program. I mean, what more can you say about Don Staley? I mean, even just looking at her record as a coach and what she has done, let's just pull that up. Because her record is astounding. We're going to give you her coaching career as it is. So, here's how it looks for Don Staley. As of December 15, 2021, Don Staley, head coach at the University of South Carolina, who has had a long and illustrious USA basketball career that began as an athlete in 1989 and was named on March 10, 2017 as head coach of the USA basketball women's national team through the Tokyo Olympics, where she capped her USA basketball career by piloting the U.S. to a seventh straight Olympic gold medal. Staley also coached the 2021 and 2019 USA AmeriCup teams to gold medals with 6-0 records in San Juan, Puerto Rico. After leading the USA to gold at the Olympics and the FIBA AmeriCup in 2021, Staley was named as a co-recipient of the 2021 USA Basketball National Coach of the Year Awards, which she shared with U.S. Olympic men's basketball head coach Greg Popovich. Staley also was the 2018 USA Basketball National Coach of the Year and a co-recipient of 2015 National Coach of the Year Award. Staley is the first person in USA basketball history to have earned both USA Basketball National Coach of the Year 2015 shared, 2018, 2021 shared, and USA Basketball Athlete of the Year 1994 and 2000. Awards. With Staley at the helm, the USA Basketball Women's National Team earned a 6-0 record in the gold medal at the 2018 FIBA World Cup, which qualified the USA for the 2020 Summer Olympic Games. She also helmed the USA National Team as it compiled a 6-0 exhibition slate in 2018. This is just some of the credentials of Dawn Staley. Just some. As for how long she's been coaching, let's just first look at her playing career. It lasted from 1996 to 2006. Position, point guard. As far as the schools that she have well, we're still looking up some more information on Dawn Staley. As I just lost my news feed. We'll get that back. And here we go. So, looking at Dawn Staley at the University of South Carolina, she is the program's all-time winningest coach. And in essence, she has catapulted South Carolina into the national spotlight when she was hired in May of 2008. Dawn Staley has made the Gamecocks a mainstay in the battle for SEC and national championships. Under her leadership, the Gamecocks have reached many firsts: national championships, NCAA Final Fours, number one rankings, SEC regular season and tournament titles, SEC Players of the Year, National Players of the Year, WNBA number one draft picks, an undefeated regular season, and number one recruiting class, to name the most notable. In Staley's 15 seasons at the helm of the Gamecocks, highlights include two national championships, 2017-2022, five NCAA Final Fours in the last eight tournaments, 2015, 17, 21, 22, 23, ranking in the AP Top 25 every week since December 10, 2012, third longest active streak in the nation, 206. 38 straight weeks ranked number one in the AP poll, just third program to go wire to wire in that poll in back-to-back seasons. Six 30-win seasons, including a program record 36 wins in 2022-23, which they could possibly break that this year. One more game to win. Seven SEC regular season championships, 2014, 15, 16, 17, 20. 22-23. Seven SEC tournaments, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21, 23. Three top two recruiting classes, number one in 2021, number one in 2019, number two in 2014. Nine NCAA attendance titles, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. While her coaching career is in full bloom, Staley is still recognized for her body of work as one of the most decorated participants in the United States women's basketball history. The Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame solidified that legacy with her enshrinement as part of the class of 2013. The Phoenix Club of Philadelphia established the Dawn Staley Award, recognizing the nation's top guard in women's Division I basketball in 2013. As well, Staley was inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame as part of the class of 2012 and was one of the final nominees for induction to the U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame the same year. In 23 seasons as a head coach, Staley has led her college teams to 13-25 win seasons, a total of 19 postseason appearances, two WNIT, and 197 weeks in the Associated Press top 10, including 63 in the number one spot, fourth most times in the top spot in the history of that poll. Her .755 win percentage, 574-186, ranks 10th in the nation among active head coaches with at least 10 years of experience and 13th all time. And of course, we gave you some of her credentials as coaching USA basketball and FIBA World Cup, so we don't have to hash that out again. But that's what you're getting with Dawn Staley as a coach, all the credentials and what she pours into those young women that she coaches. Now, I know this first segment was kind of long-winded, and that's even without a guest, but I tell you what I am going to do. I am going to take a break right here, and when I come back, I'll take a look at men's Final Four, some of the key players to keep an eye out for. So, stay seated to the rise done. It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Be right back.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the glass man?
Okay, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Okay, glass man.
The glass man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Okay, glass man.
Bring your vehicle to the glass man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast on a Saturday, on a Final Four Saturday. Can I even say like this? This is even a WrestleMania weekend, WrestleMania 40 weekend. Who would have thought y'all would hear me reference WrestleMania on my podcast? But I'm pretty sure there's some listeners who's going to be tuned in to day one of WrestleMania with the main event. Yes, I'm getting ready to throw this out there. Main event. The Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes as he looks to finish the story. That's right. WrestleMania. Matter of fact, you know what's at stake in that match. Rock laid it out. If Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes beat Roman Reigns and Rock tonight, there won't be no bloodline members at ringside. But if they lose that tag match, bloodline rules, anything goes. So there is my WrestleMania moment talking on the podcast. Who would have believed y'all would have heard that coming from me? Well, that's probably the only two times y'all going to hear that. First and last time. With that being said, Final Four weekend. We already know who's playing for the women's national title. It will be Iowa against South Carolina, and I already gave you my take on that. Today, the men take center stage, and I don't know if you heard my podcast yesterday, but Shaquille O'Neal said that the men's tournament basically sucked. I didn't say that. Shaq said that. But what I want to do is kind of give you the tail of the tape, because this is not going to be a long extended podcast. It may turn into one. It just all depends. I'm still waiting on some guests to line up. But the first game today starts at approximately 5:09 p.m. It's the first game there. I don't think, unless there's any delays, I think that game should start on time without any hitch. It's going to be on, you can live stream it on TBS. It's going to be at the State Farm Stadiums in Glendale. Starts with Purdue versus NC State. And we're just basically going to give you the tale of the tape. And sometimes you can throw stats out there because once the game starts, these stats don't mean it. But points per game favors Purdue as they average 88 points per game, whereas North Carolina State averages 75.3 points per game. Assists per game, Purdue wins that category with 25.3 to 16 for NC State. Blocks per game, they're almost, well, NC State has the upper hand on that at 4.3 as opposed to 3.3 for Purdue. Fouls per game, you can get NC State in foul trouble. They commit 15.3 fouls per game, whereas Purdue commits 9. Rebounds per game is almost pretty even, with the slight edge to Purdue at 40 to 37 for NC State. Now, NC State can turn you over, as evidence as they come up with 6 steals per game, whereas Purdue comes up with 4. Turnovers per game, North Carolina State 10, Purdue 9. Field goal percentage, 47.4% for North Carolina State to 53.6% for Purdue. And you know, Purdue does a lot of that damage in the paint with the big man in the middle and Zach Edey, who plays pretty much the way a traditional big should play with his back to the basket. And that's what I can appreciate, old school basketball. North Carolina State have some players on the injured list. For them to be exact, guard M. Rice, he's actually a red shirt. He's out. M. O'Connell, who is a guard, out with a hand injury. You have M. Diarra, who is a forward, out with a knee injury. And you have guard J. Taylor, who's also out with a hand injury. Whereas on the other hand, you have Purdue with no injuries reported. So that could play a big role, especially if North Carolina State gets into some foul trouble, which you hate to see. Their previous meeting, the last time these two teams played, was December 12, 2021, and Purdue won that game by the score of 82-72. So it's been a while since they have played. The next game that will be taking place after this one will be UConn, who's looking to repeat. And they'll be taking on Alabama. And it's amazing the difference that a year makes, because last year Alabama was always in the news, but not for the right reasons. This year they decided they were going to play cleanup. As a matter of fact, the young man who transferred out of Wichita State by the name of Jaquan Walton went there and got popped on drug and gun charges. Coach Nate Oates said, you know what, we're not going to deal with that. He is no longer part of this team. We're no longer recruiting him, which is how he ended up at Memphis. So the tell of the tape here goes like this. Of course, this game will start at approximately 7:49 after the first game is complete. Barnett game doesn't go into overtime. Points per game, these teams like to score points. As Alabama averages 89.8 points per game, UConn averages 82.7. Assists per game, Alabama averages 15.8, whereas we can see that the Huskies, they're not selfish at all by their 19.7 assists per game. Defensive standpoint, Alabama averages 6 blocks a game. UConn averages 4 blocks a game. And I can't help but to think that Grant Nelson is a key contributor to the block party. Fouls per game, Alabama gives up fouls at a clip of 20.8 per game. UConn keeps it under control at 15.3. So it looks like you may be able to get Alabama in foul trouble if you play your game and go at them and make them commit untimely fouls. Rebounding margin, Alabama 37.3, UConn 40.3. So there's a 3 rebound differential. Steals per game, Alabama averages 5.5 steals per game, whereas UConn was averages 7.3 steals a game. In the turnover department, Alabama averages 11, whereas UConn does a little bit better job taking care of the ball at 7.7. Field goal percentage, Alabama shoots at a 47.6% clip, whereas the Huskies of UConn shoots at 50.8. Something tells me they're not reliant on the three ball. They like to get the ball inside. Key pregame injury report, you have Cade Parker, who's a redshirt guard. He's out. D. Cosby, a guard. He's out with a foot injury. And H. Millett, he's out, non-injury related. He's a guard. There is no injury report to give for the UConn Huskies. Last time these two teams met was November 25th, 2022. And, of course, UConn boat raced Alabama by the score of 82-67. So there you have the tail of the tape for the men's game. So I hope that gets you ready and prepared to sit back and watch some good college basketball. Tell you what I'm going to do here. I am going to go ahead and take me another break. And when I come back, we will just see which direction we're going to take this train. But don't you dare go nowhere. The train is still moving. So please stay seated until the ride comes to a halt. This is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor, Anthony Smith.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. And as we speak, there are possibly going to be some changes made in women's college basketball in lieu of the 12.3 million viewership. Changes that were going to be talked about in the 2025 offseason is basically saying, let's not wait until then. Let's go ahead and get this ball rolling now. But I want to take us back to, since I've mentioned that epic game between Iowa and LSU, the game that drew 12.3 million, because I'm reminded of the fact that as I worked at a radio station, and there's a guy, I'm going to tell you the name of his show. It's called On the Marks Media. I'm not going to give you his name, but you can look up On the Marks Media and you can flood his timeline or whatever. But me and him, we was working at a local radio station here in the city of Wichita in the state of Kansas. And he says any man talking about women's sports and basketball should be banned from radio. He says something to that effect. I can't help but to think if he's saying it now. And trust me and him, we had some good chemistry on radio. You know, I wasn't really a radio personnel, but he would also let me open up my mic, and we'd go back and forth. And, I mean, at that time, we were probably, and I'm being quite honest, the chemistry that we had, we would give Chris Broussard and Rob Parker a run for their money, or Tony Kornheiser and Wilbon. Yeah, we would give those guys a run for their money because we had that chemistry. We could go unscripted. He throws something out, I throw it back. I throw something out, he throw it back. That's the type of radio chemistry that we had. But he had a disdain about talking women's sports on this show. I'm glad that as we move forward, here we are in 2024, we're talking about it. I'm talking about it on my podcast. I used to take my daughter to Wichita State women's basketball games back in the day. I can drop you some names right now. Letitia Hill, Kiyomi Johnson, Tasha Barnett. There was another girl. I can't think of her name. But, yeah, the list goes on. Gina Johnson, I do believe, who played locally here at Wichita Northwest High School. I mean, I could give you the list of names. Coach Daryl Smith. Jackie Stiles in Missouri State would come in and pack out Henry Levitt Arena at the time. That was, 27 years ago. Now here we are, women's breaking attendance, viewership marks. So let's see what was actually said on Good Morning America in regards to that record-setting game.
Well, you know, guys, the big winner of the double NCAA tournament might just be ESPN. Monday's epic showdown between Iowa and LSU was the most anticipated game of the year, and it did not disappoint. The Elite Eight rematch lived up to the hype on the court, and now ESPN is reaping the rewards, reporting 12.3 million viewers tuned in for all of that action. To put it into perspective, it now stands as the most watched women's college basketball game ever. That number even beating out last year's World Series and almost all of the games in the NBA Finals matchup. I love it. And much of that is due to Caitlin Clark giving a masterclass on how to drain three-pointers. With 41 points over LSU, now she and her Iowa Hawkeyes will take on UConn in the Final Four. And it is not lost on UConn coach Gino Auriemma. He just hopes she doesn't drop 50 on him. That's what he said. We will also see NC State take on undefeated South Carolina on the other side of the Final Four. That all goes down on Friday night. We cannot wait. We should point out also that both NC State and UConn are cheering on their men's teams, both still in it to win it. Their men and women all won in 2004. That would be UConn and 2014. It would be huge to see UConn do it again 10 years later.
10 years.
Yeah. Unbelievable. They're due, I guess. We shall see. You can watch it all, guys, on ESPN. The women starting Friday at 7 p.m. The men Final Four is on Saturday at 6 p.m. And then the women's national champs will be on Sunday right here on ABC.
It's going to be some great games, both the men and women.
Every time you do this,
Sam goes like...
George and Sam Flinch.
I don't know what's doing the do not launch. If you do that, he would panic.
It's just preparation there. That's all.
I know. It's also reputation. I'm a spiller.
You really are. All right.
Anyway, big basketball action coming up. We're so excited.
We cannot wait. Thank you, Larry. Yep.
And that was the crew from Good Morning America chiming in on the epic game that was Iowa and LSU, which now leads me to a story that I picked up off of Yahoo Sports. It says important changes to NCAA women's tournament could be made this summer. So what could those changes be? And I want you to chime in and give me your thoughts on how do you feel about this. Women's college basketball is on top of the world right now, and the NCAA has taken notice. Lynn Holzman, NCAA's vice president for women's basketball, is pushing for the Women's Basketball Committee to meet this summer, a year ahead of schedule, to discuss possible changes to the tournament format. She believes the sport's growing popularity necessitates they consider changes now instead of waiting until summer 2025. given the trajectory of success we've experienced over the last couple of years, I see no reason to wait to start that review, Holzman told ESPN on Tuesday afternoon. The governance structure has to approve a review, but that is our ask coming out of this championship. I believe that will take place. So, what would those changes be? According to ESPN, the committee in 2025 is set to address the current format of holding rounds 1 and 2 of the tournament on the campuses of 16 highly ranked teams, with rounds 3 and 4 consolidated into 2 sites. The men's tournament is run differently, with the biggest difference being in the first round. The men's tournament holds rounds 1 and 2 at 8 neutral sites that are unaffiliated with any teams playing in the tournament. Embarrassing incident at women's tourney. The men's and women's tournaments have become more similar in recent years as the NCAA has attempted to bridge the considerable equity gap. Once overlooked and underfunded, now the women's tourney is making enormous headlines, and the NCAA contends that it's also no longer underfunded. An NCAA spokesperson told ESPN that they've spent an additional $14 million per year on the women's tournament since 2021, when the organization was nationally embarrassed by the deep inequalities between the men's and women's tournament that were made public. But it hasn't been enough to prevent even more embarrassing incidents. Here's a rundown of what's happened over the last 2 weeks. A referee for the NC State Chattanooga contest was removed at halftime because they received a graduate degree from Chattanooga but failed to disclose it. A different referee forced Notre Dame star Hannah Hidalgo to miss several minutes of a game to remove her nose ring, which she had worn all season with no issues. While staying in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, to compete in the first round of Gonzaga's campus in Spokane, Washington, Utah's team was subject to racial hate crimes and had to be removed to a different hotel. Coeur d'Alene has a history of racial hate groups, and it was already so far from the game site that Gonzaga had to get a special waiver to put them there. Utah was moved to a different hotel after they reported the incident. One of the 3-point lines was incorrectly drawn at the Portland site, used for rounds 3 and 4, which the NCAA itself didn't even notice. Imagine that. There's a whole lot of things that the NCAA doesn't notice. According to the Washington Post, a fan first noticed the discrepancy, indicating that not a single NCAA employee at that venue checked the work of the contractor hired to draw the lines. The teams scheduled to play after the issue was discovered elected to continue anyway, since waiting for the line to be drawn would mean giving up prize Saturday night slot on ESPN. The issue was fixed by Monday's UConn-USC matchup. Millions of people have been watching women's basketball lately. The ratings for Monday's showdown between LSU and Iowa shattered the record for the most watched NCAA women's game of all time. The sport is full of young stars, and the outrageous talent level has resulted in some of the most entertaining games in recent memory. All the NCAA has to do is stop ruining it. A meeting this summer could possibly get them closer to accomplishing that goal. So we will wait and see what these rule changes are and how the NCAA can stop embarrassing them on themselves. Well, it is no mystery. You heard it earlier that Caitlin Clark and I are headed back to the women's national title game and will face South Carolina. That's right. Caitlin Clark's final game in an Iowa uniform will be with the national championship on line, and it's going to come against a team potentially on the verge of a dynasty. Number 1 Iowa narrowly advanced to the women's NCAA tournament championship game after surviving a scare from number 3 Connecticut, 71-69, in the Final Four at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland, Ohio on Friday. The Hawkeyes will face undefeated and number 1 overall seed South Carolina in Sunday's title game. The Gamecocks, powered by their center, Camila Cardoso. Y'all remember her, you know, the one, as a friend of mine's in the industry would say, was knocking people down. He said that, not me, and I'm not going to give you his name because they have since made amends. But Camila Cardoso, in a strong third quarter, defeated number 3 NC State 78-59 in the earlier semifinal of the night. In 2023, Clark and the Hawkeyes came up short in the national title game, losing to Angel Reese and LSU 102-85. This time, Clark, in a record-breaking season, could end her college career as a champion and give Iowa its first national title in women's or men's basketball. Among the records she has set, Clark has the most career points in Division I history for a woman and for women and men. Seen as a generational talent, the 22-year-old is projected to be the number 1 overall pick in the WNBA draft on April 15th. South Carolina, now 108-3 in the last 3 seasons, is back in the national championship game for the first time since 2022 when it won the national title game. When it won the national title for the second time in program history. This is the Gamecocks' 4th consecutive in Final Four appearance and a chance for them to win their 3rd national title in 7 years. A year ago, South Carolina's lone loss of the season came against Iowa in the Final Four. What? Talk about drama. South Carolina has been the top of the top, Clark said. They're in a different league. We're going to do everything we can to try to be right there with them. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is enjoy this tonight. We'll go over to scout early in the morning. So Clark overcomes poor first half shooting. Against UConn, Clark overcame a poor first half shooting performance to finish with 21 points. Hannah Stuckey had a game-high 23 points. There was anticipation that Friday night's game between Iowa and UConn could be a shooting showcase between Clark and Husky star Paige Buchers. Instead, Clark and Iowa had to overcome a gritty UConn defense and a Huskies team that would not go away. Clark failed to make a three-point shot in the first half, going 0 for 6, and was held to 6 points in the first 2 quarters. In the first half, Iowa turned the ball over 12 times, while UConn had 11 steals and led by as many as 12 points. But Iowa pulled close at the half wound down. Huskies went into halftime with a 32-26 lead. By the end of the third quarter, it was tied at 51-51. At first, it looked like Iowa was going to pull away in the fourth, but UConn stayed in it, and a three-pointer by Nika Mule cut Iowa's lead to 70-69, 49 seconds ago. A steal by K.K. Arnold gave UConn the ball with 9.3 seconds left, but an offensive foul, a controversial call on Aaliyah Edwards, gave the ball back to the Hawkeyes. Buchers fouled Clark with 3.1 seconds left. Clark made her first free throw to make it 71-69, but she missed the second. The teams battled for the ball, and Iowa retained it by having a possession arrow. With a successful inbounds play, Iowa hung on for the win. Buchers and Edwards finished with 17 points, and Arnold had 14. It was an NCAA record 23rd Final Four appearance and 15th in the last 16 NCAA tournaments for the 11-time national champion Huskies, all under head coach Gino Auriemma. But it might have been the most unlikely Final Four trip of them all, as UConn, decimated by injuries this season, had a depleted roster. The Huskies got hot during the NCAA tournament, reaching the Final Four by outdueling number 1 USC. UConn is a really good defensive team, one of the best defensive teams we've seen all year, Clark said. I think Nika did a tremendous job guarding me. We got some good looks. We just didn't go in. They just didn't go in. And sometimes that's just what happens. We miss some easy bunnies around the rim. But I think the best thing about our group is we went into the locker room at halftime, and it wasn't like, oh, come on. You got to make shots. It was, no, stop turning the ball over, and you're going to be perfectly fine. We knew at some point our shots would go down. We put up 45 points in the second half, 25 in the third quarter, came out in the fourth quarter, started really hot. So I don't think it was like a freaking out about offense not working. I think it was just it will come around. We didn't execute great, and we were only down 6. We felt really confident in that. Nobody panicked. Everybody knew. We just needed to clean it up a little bit, and that's exactly what we did. So there was the outcome of the Iowa-UConn game. So we're looking forward to the final tomorrow between Iowa and South Carolina, led by their coach, Don Staley. Well, this has been another edition of the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Getting ready to bring this train into the station. Hope you have enjoyed today's podcast. Tell me, who do you think will win the men and women's Final Four? I'd like to see your feedback. Until the next time, take care of yourself and each other. Be blessed. I'm out.